Psalm 13, this is God's holy word. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Thus far, God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Thanks be to God. Well, we come back to the Psalms after taking a kind of a break to think about Christmas things and the new year and so forth. And we're looking today at this psalm of a person who's troubled. David is the author, and he's troubled because God seems far from him. And I doubt there's a person here that hasn't felt that way at one time or another. God just seems so far. Even to the point that David says he feels abandoned by the Lord. Have you forgotten me? Where are you, Lord? At the beginning of the psalm, David keeps repeating this phrase, how long? I could have used that as a title for this message this morning. How long? How long? Apparently, at least in his mind anyway, fellowship with the Lord had been interrupted, and had been interrupted for much too long, as a matter of fact. And he's desperate to see God at work in his life. I think, again, we all would like to say, Lord, I'd like to see you at work in my life, working on me, working through me to help other people. And we can very much identify with these words of David. Now, this feeling of abandonment is not God's fault. The fault lies with us. God does everything right, but we don't. I just would quote from Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2, when the Lord says to all of his people, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Now when it says he will not hear, it doesn't mean that he can't hear. It just means that he's not going to deal with us in the way that we would like unless we get right with him. Unless we confess our sins and seek his face and ask for his mercies. And that's what David is doing here. So I don't think David is anticipating that this will go on forever, but it's gone on much too long in his life. He wants to draw near to God, as near as he's ever been. So, in our own selfish self-pity, we feel far from God, or in our sinfulness and just not wanting to give up those things that we know displease the Lord, we lose contact with him. And yet, keep in mind that his mercy never fails. What a wonderful thought that is. His mercy never fails. Later in the passage, he talks about loving kindness. And that's a word in Hebrew. I've probably mentioned it to you several times. It is a word about his relationship with his people. We call it sometimes his covenant love. But he says, I established this relationship and nothing's going to make it go away. Now, your sins can keep us apart, but that covenant love on my part will draw you back to me. And I think David is feeling here some of that drawing power of God, drawing him back to him. And while we can't just say to ourselves, well, God will get me out of this eventually, as though we have no responsibility, still I think it's also a word of comfort to us that God will keep this relationship going, that he will straighten it out. But he will often put us through some difficult times to bring that about. Certainly David seems to be going through a difficult time here in this psalm. You'll notice that by the end of the psalm, he's feeling a lot better. He says, I will sing to the Lord. He starts out, he says, Lord, I don't feel much like singing. I feel very low. Now, there's only six verses here, so it's a pretty quick recovery, we might say. But I'm sure there was more to it than just the words of this psalm. But he does move from being very forlorn to being very happy. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So, I think if David could speak to us today who feel this way, who feel like we're far from the Lord, that he would say, wait a minute, think again. Think again when God seems to have forgotten you. Now, one of the things about God is that he's keenly aware of everything in our lives. And you read time and again in Scripture where people say to themselves, I'll hide this from the Lord. And then they kind of get slapped down about that and say, you can't hide anything from the Lord. He knows what's going on. So the issue is not that God has forgotten us. The issue is that he only knows us too well. And he knows us to the point that he does intend to do something. And that's, again, something to be grateful for. That the situation is not that God has forgotten us, but that he's paying us a lot of attention by letting us know what it feels like to be cut off, to be in a situation where we feel alone and without him. Now, on occasion, of course, God will test us. And the purpose of his test is not to fail us, although we certainly fail enough, but the purpose is to prove us, and the testing is more in the nature of finding the real spiritual gold, the real spiritual place that is in our lives, in our relationship with him. And unless he kind of burns away the dross, the impurities there, then we'll never really come to that place of appreciating what it means to know God and to live with him, to know his love for us, and then to be able to express our love to him. But however this comes about, it requires on our part some soul searching. In other words, we don't really say to God, why have you forgotten me? We need to say, what's wrong with me? What's gone wrong in the way I'm living my life, or my spiritual attitude, or the directions that I've been taking, that it's moved me far from the Lord? So it's vital that we get back in touch with him. And I think that's one of the things that David would say to us today. Think about how much time you're spending with the Lord. Now, how do we spend time with the Lord? By prayer and by the Scriptures. And we need then to take and meditate on the Word of God. Not just to read so quickly that it passes by us, but to say, Lord, what are you really saying to me here in the Scriptures? That's meditation. And that's reestablishing contact with the Lord. And I think it can be said that ordinarily God responds to our cries to him, first of all, by saying, here's my word. Here's what I have written down for you to read and study and think about. And as you read it and think on it, then think again about your despondency, your thinking that I've forgotten you. I've put this word in your hands. I've placed it before you to read so that you will know that I haven't forgotten you. Now, if we had no communication from God, if as it were, there was just silence, well, we would be indeed in great distress. But God says, as long as you have my word, I am not silent. And you see, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and He applies it appropriately in our lives. He may be speaking to me in one way, maybe speaking to you in a different way, but He always applies that Word to draw you back to Himself. And keep in mind that God doesn't hide His face. Look at the last part of the first verse there. It says, "How long will you hide your face from me?" How long will you hide your face? God says, no, my desire is to show you my face, to let you look upon my face. And of course, interestingly, He did this in the most literal way possible when He came into the world in the incarnation. He took a face. Sometimes in Bible story papers and things, Jesus is pictured in a story situation and the face is sort of fuzzed out. You can't really see. And maybe that's a good thing. It's not necessarily good for us to try to picture God as any certain drawing or picture or anything like that. But it is important to know that God has shown His face to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, very literally, but more expansively, He is looking with graciousness and kindness and concern for us, whether we're looking at Him directly or not. That God shows His face to us. What an interesting thing it will be someday to be able to look upon the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all these pictures that you've seen, so forth, you say, is that really Jesus? He probably won't look anything like what you think He looked like. And yet it's a real face, a real person. And it does tell us that God does look upon us. So the first point this morning is simply this, that God hasn't forgotten you. And that He is looking upon you. And that you can see His face, not so much in the lines and the figures, but in the brightness of His interest in you and His readiness to help you, and in the whole fact that He has done the opposite of forgetting you, but now He's giving you a lot of attention. That's our first point. Then David would say to us, and now in your despondency and your feeling down, think again. Think again when the enemy has seemed to triumph and you've been defeated. And that's the way we feel sometimes, isn't it? We feel defeated. We feel like I've had it. I can't take any more. It's over. It's done. And David says, think again. Think again. You know, sometimes a person is better known by his or her enemies than by his or her friends. That is to say, why are people attacking you? Why are they against you? Now, maybe sometimes we deserve it. But I think what David is saying here is if we walk with the Lord, that there'll be a lot of people that are unhappy with us because we don't run anymore in their ways of dissipation or sinfulness. And so they become our enemies, or they're just enemies of Christ. And then don't forget that we have a great adversary ourselves in the devil, in Satan, who comes after us as well. And from any of these sources, we can get the feeling that we just can't survive. We just can't get through this. David says, Lord, if you don't come to me and help me, I'm going to sleep the sleep of death. I don't even see any reason to keep living anymore. You can tell he's really down when he says something like that. But again, if a person is known by those who hate the Lord being against the person, against me, against you, then that says something about us, that we are on the Lord's side. We are on the side of Him who will not allow evil, who will not just smile and say, go ahead and do whatever you want to. So I'd ask you this morning, are you overwhelmed by enemies who are against the Lord and thus against you? And that's really that really ought to be our situation. Now, what is Satan, our enemy, trying to do? Of course, he's trying to drive us away from God. David says, "Oh Lord, have you forgotten me? Oh Lord, am I out of your mind altogether?" And Satan says, "Yes, that's what's happened. You've just been forgotten. And now I'm just about to grab you and have you." David says, "Wait a minute, God's not like that. That covenant love, that relationship that he wants to establish, can't be broken." David says when the enemy is exalted, well, he thinks he's winning. He appears to be winning. You watched any of these football games in the last day or so? There are a number of these teams that were way behind at the beginning of the game. But right at the end, they came roaring back and they won the game. Well, it may appear that we're losing. It may appear that we're just going to be run out of the stadium, as it were. God says, you know, don't count things as being so until I have finished, until I have done my work. Now, David acknowledges here that he needs the Lord if he is to overcome, if he is to see his enemies put down. But he says, trusting in the Lord, taking hold of him and resting in him, I will have the victory. Whenever there are enemies that are not on the Lord's side coming against me, because I am on the Lord's side, I can know and be confident that the Lord has the victory. And this has never been more firmly impressed upon us than when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, who when he went to the cross, everybody said he's finished, he's done. He can't win. We win. But then what happened? First of all, beyond what most people can understand, he paid for our sins so that we won't perish but have everlasting life. And then he rose from the dead victorious, and he remains victorious. And the victory is his, and the victory is ours through faith in him. And you see, following the Lord Jesus Christ is really about victory. It's really about overcoming, whether it's Satan or some other enemy that may be against us because we're on the Lord's side. He's the victor, and we're victors with him. But again, we need to make sure that our enemies are Christ's enemies, God's enemies. Because if it's just a matter of we've hurt somebody and they're getting back at us, well, that's another story. We need to repent of that and come back to the Lord and find forgiveness. But if our enemies are against us because we're standing for the Lord, and that was David's case. He was a godly king with a lot of people in Israel who said, he's too godly. We want another kind of king who will let us be like all the other nations around us, and that'll make us happy. And no, that's not the way to victory. It's the way to sure defeat, as a matter of fact. David says, I'm on the Lord's side, and that's where I'm going to stay. Even though sometimes I think God has forgotten me, that's where I'm going to stay. So if that's come across your mind, if you feel overwhelmed and about defeated, remember David, remember the Lord Jesus Christ, remember the way to victory. Think again about that. Think again when darkness steals your hope. Now, there are many reasons why we do feel overcome. And it may be physical, may be a matter of some chemical imbalance within us, or it just may be that we get caught up in the depression around us, and so forth. But when darkness steals your hope, think again. First of all, Jesus said in Luke 18:1, he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always to pray and not to faint. Now, going back again to what we said earlier, to draw close to the Lord, yeah, you have to study the Scriptures and meditate upon the Scriptures, but you have to pray as well. And this is a prayer from David. Notice it starts off, how long, O Lord? He's addressing the Lord here. How long, O Lord? How long? But he is praying. And that's a step in the direction. When you feel so dark, God says, pray. Pray to me. And remember that God has this keen interest. He hasn't forgotten you. Opposite's true. He has this keen interest in you, which means He's listening to you. Now again, when we say, I'm just going to keep on in my sinful life, but I'll pray, God says, I'm not interested really in that sort of prayer. But He says, when you're calling out to me and say, Lord, I want to be right with you, I want to walk with you, I want to know you, and God says, oh, I'm listening to that, and I have an answer for you. God says, I'm ready to supply what you need. Now David talks here about enlightening his eyes. In verse 3, he says, oh my God, enlighten my eyes, or I'll sleep the sleep of death. What does it mean to enlighten the eyes? Well, there are a number of passages in Scripture about the eyes being in a condition like this. It could mean that you just can't see what the Lord is doing. So you say, Lord, enlighten my eyes. It means let me see what you're doing. Remember Elisha's servant who couldn't see that all around him were the chariots of fire. And Elijah prayed, Lord, open my servant's eyes that he can see. And when he saw, he was overwhelmed by the power that God had at his disposal. So we need our eyes enlightened in that way. We can see, again through the Scriptures, we can see what God is doing. Another thing is that when we are down physically, our eyes are drooping. And there was a time when Jonathan was fighting and Saul, his father, had said, nobody eat anything till the battle's over. And Jonathan didn't know that his father had said that, so he ate some honey. And it says, immediately my eyes brightened. It means I got my strength back. I woke up. Lord, enlighten me in that way. And this is one of the things that we can pray for when we're physically hurting, when we feel down, we need some physical strength, the Lord will supply it. Now, in Jonathan's case, He gave him some food. If we need to eat, we can. If we need sleep. A lot of the reasons that we're down and feeling bad, we don't get enough sleep. There are all kinds of ways that the Lord can help us, and He can even touch us in a supernatural way to bring in that strength to us that we don't have. But when we have this dark feeling, and you know, here's David, he says the sleep of death and those kind of things, he sees death coming and he's about to welcome death and this kind of thing, then God steps in and says, wait a minute, I have the power of life and death. And you can't die until I say so. Now, however weak you are, you look to me because I can give strength. And then, of course, he says, even if physically you come to that point of death, he says, I'll be there at the door of death to welcome you and take you right through it and take you into my presence. But David's not anticipating that here. He just says, I feel so near dying at this point. And I'm so fearful of that. God says, don't be afraid. I'm here with you. I'll help you. And he says, when that happens, your enemies, your adversaries are all going to be disappointed. They're thinking, well, he's had it. She's had it. No, God says, I'm in the business of disappointing your enemies. And I'm in the business of appointing you to a place of purpose and help as long as I keep you in this world. Are you shaken? David says, my enemies rejoice when I'm shaken, but he says, guess what? I'm not shaken. It's the end of verse 4. I'm not shaken. He says, because God is like a rock. God plants my feet where they cannot be moved. God is my foundation. He renews our stability. He brings about this recovery from being shaken. And this is what Christ did all through His ministry. He found people who were shaken, and He put them back together again. He put them where they could be secure and confident. You have poor old Simon Peter saying, "I don't know the man," and so forth. If there's anybody who was ever shaken, it was Peter thereafter. Jesus had been arrested. The Lord rose from the dead and he said, "Peter, you don't have to be shaken anymore. I have something solid for you to live on now and forever." Now one more thing, and that is to think again when there is a history of God's care. Since you came to the Lord, has he ever left you without help? The Lord has never violated those who trust in him. His loving kindness is a blessing better than life. That's Psalm 63. Thy loving kindness is better than life. It endures to all generations. Look at the history of God's people and see how he never left them. He punished them sometimes, but there always was a way to come back to God and a way back to stability. What's the history? Think again about the history of how God has been with you through this and that, through thick and thin, through all sorts of adversity and many times of triumph and blessing. Studying the history of salvation includes joy, produces joy, is meant for joy. You're feeling down, you're feeling low, and get right with God, and God is interested in bringing you to that place of getting right with him, and there'll be joy in your life. God's salvation has never been undone. Never been undone. God's deliverance throughout history has never been undone. And the record of his dealings is bounty. He says, "He has dealt bountifully with me." Think through your life since you've come to know the Lord. Hasn't God dealt with you bountifully? You say, "Well, I'm not as bountiful now as I once was." Well, maybe the bounty is better in a spiritual sense than in a material sense. But his dealings with us is bountiful. Those who've waited on him, those who have found the goodness of the Lord, have one response. "I will sing to the Lord." In other words, I will show my gratitude. I will show my thankfulness. I will exalt the Lord for what he has done. I will give him praise. The psalmist said in Psalm 40 there, "He waited for the Lord Most High." As we sang, "He inclined to hear my cry. He lifted me up. He set my feet where they should be. He gave me every blessing." If you're thinking that you can't have what you had before, think again. God will restore to you the joy of his salvation. And I think that's a good way for us to move ahead in this year, 2020. That however dark the way ahead may appear, remember, God is attentive. God shines his light upon us through his word. God is there to overcome our enemies, and God will give us reason to sing. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for loving us as you do. In spite of our faithlessness, in spite of our tendency to be despondent, in spite of our reluctance to let go of our sins, Lord, we're thankful that your covenant love can never be broken, never erased, never turned in another direction. Lord, receive us for Jesus' sake. Cleanse us and help us. Fill us with your joy, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.